everyone here to this service this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I wish every, first of all, we thank our Father in heaven for being a very wonderful Father to us. We appreciate him. Will you worship him? Will you appreciate him? Hallelujah. There is no Father like God. No Father like God. And all the fathers in the house, you're highly appreciated. And all the mothers that made it possible for them to be fathers, you are also highly appreciated. Because nobody can be a father by himself. It takes a mother. And nobody should even be concerned that maybe you have a physical father that does not care for you, or you don't have a physical father at all. Your heavenly Father covers. And I congratulate you in the name of Jesus. This message was scheduled before I ever knew that today was Father's Day. And it is titled, Know Your Spiritual Family. Know your spiritual family. We started by the knowledge of God, knowing God, and then knowing ourselves. Wednesday was a blast. Know your work. And this month, and this day is know your spiritual family. And when I say spiritual family, I'm talking about your cover, your company and your cover. Your company and your covering. You can put that in bracket if you want. That is for those taking the notes. Our objective is to understand our spiritual family. That is our company and our spiritual covering, spiritual father, spiritual pastor, and so forth. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 23. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible said, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. By way of introduction, it is important to know that God is a God of order and procedure. He's a God of order. He's the God of procedure. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, when he came at creation, he began to order things. Second thing to note is that God established the natural family at creation. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, he created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And like you all know, the natural is always the shadow of the spiritual. Thirdly, God establishes his people in spiritual locations, companies, and families. He establishes his own people in spiritual locations, spiritual companies, spiritual families. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10, God speaking, he said, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. I will plant them in the place of their own. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 23, we already read that they returned back to their own company. There was a company they belonged to, a spiritual company. Then in Psalm 68 verse 6, he said, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. He puts his people in family so that nobody is solitary spiritually. You move from there to Jeremiah chapter 3 and in verse 15 and 16, Jeremiah chapter 3, he said, and I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased. So I will give to you pastors. And what is that pastor about? Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, it says, my little children, of whom I travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul is calling the Galatian church his children. He is a spiritual father, a cover to the Galatian church. What is the conclusion at this point? That there are spiritual families that offer us spiritual company and spiritual covering. God establishes spiritual families that offer us spiritual company. That is the company of the brethren. That's the church and the brethren. And spiritual covering. That is a pastor or your spiritual father. He establishes it. Spiritual families that offer us spiritual company. That is the church, the brethren. And spiritual covering. That is your spiritual father or your pastor. That is clear. For the avoidance of doubt, a commission such as this is one spiritual company. There may be different branches here and there, but it's one spiritual company with one spiritual covering. That is to be made very clear without any trace of ambiguity. Spiritual company. The question is, how do you identify your spiritual family? That is your spiritual company, your spiritual covering, or spiritual father. How do you identify? This is very important because the subject is knowing your spiritual family. Number one, your spiritual family, that is your company or your cover, is as revealed to you by God. As revealed by God. That is, you don't choose your place of worship and you don't choose your pastor. God gives them to you. It's as revealed to you by God. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 said, I will give them pastors. I will give them pastors according to my heart. They are not to give to themselves. They are not to make the choice themselves. I will give. And God has ways in which He shows you who your pastor is. As we continue to talk, you may understand some of the ways. Now, so your spiritual family, your company, your covering is revealed, is as revealed to you by God. Number two, your spiritual family is identified by that place that resonates with your passion and spiritual aspirations. That place resonates with your passion. It resonates with your spiritual aspiration. That is your kind of spirituality. That's your kind of spirituality. It resonates with your passion. It resonates with your aspiration. In Psalm 42 verse 7, it said, deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. It is that location where the deep is calling to your deep. There is something inside you that is in agreement. Am I communicating at all? Your spiritual company, family, is identified by that place that resonates with your passion and spiritual aspiration. I'm going to use the place and the person, like that's the location of the spiritual father or pastor interchangeably. Number three, your spiritual family is identified by that place or person with whom you feel a deep sense of spiritual connectivity. There is a deep sense of spiritual connectivity. It seems like an umbilical connection, the way it is with for mother and baby. You feel, in that place, you feel a deep sense of spiritual connectivity with that person who is meant to be your pastor, your spiritual father, whoever. There is that deep sense of spiritual connectivity. Example, you see Joshua and Moses in Exodus 33 and in verse 11. Moses was on top of the mountain, but Joshua was so connected to Moses that he could not even depart from the foot of the mountain. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, departed not out of the tabernacle. There was that deep connection. Also, the example of Elijah, Elisha. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. So Elijah departed then and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Listen. Somebody met somebody once, and there was such a connectivity that he abandoned everything that he had been doing with his life and followed the stranger that he just met. Am I communicating? That is connect. It's a magnetic connectivity. Just he abandoned every single thing and followed this man and followed him for life until something dropped. It is that place or that person with whom you feel the deep sense of spiritual connectivity. It didn't matter what others felt or what they feel or don't feel. I'm sure there may be others around Elisha when this happened, but it didn't matter. The sons of the prophets were all around, but it didn't matter. This man just ran because of that connection. Number four, your spiritual family is identified by that place that feels like home to you. It's actually home. It feels like home to you. You are at home when you are there. And it feels like something is missing when you are not there. It feels like home to you. How is it like home? It is the place you go to report the devil when you are challenged. In Acts chapter 4 verse 23, that was what happened to the apostles. They went home. They went to their home, to their company. They had challenge, and the place that looks like home to them was where they went. Your spiritual family is identified by the place that feels like home to you. You are at home when you are there. It feels like something is missing when you are not there. Number five, your spiritual family is identified by that place where you hear God easily. The place where you hear and experience God easily. You hear God. While the message is going on, you are hearing something. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20 to 21. "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying." While your teacher is teaching, you are hearing the voice of God inside the teacher's voice. Your ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it," when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Walk ye in it. Your spiritual family is your Bethel, the place of encounters, the place of open heavens, the place to hear God. Number six, your spiritual family, that is your spiritual covering, is identified. And your spiritual covering especially is identified by the person whose voice or picture God uses to speak to you. His voice or picture God uses to speak to you. God speaks to you using his voice or face where necessary. The last point is the issue where you come there like here and the preaching is going on and you are receiving the word of God. And you are hearing God through that voice. But this point is different. In this case, you are in your house. You are in your closet. You are doing something else. And God is using the voice of your pastor, the voice of your covering, to speak to you and give you direction. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 to 11. And the Lord came. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 to 10. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. And that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto him and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went down. Now you know the story. Samuel was hearing the voice of God in the voice of Eli. His priest was Eli. God was speaking to Samuel, but it was Eli's voice he was hearing. Until Eli had to tell him, "No, I perceive it's God talking to you. If he speaks again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" Am I communicating at all? We have had several experiences. A pastor was going to preach somewhere in Kaduna, and all of a sudden he said he saw me. I appeared to him and I said to him physically now, and said, "Don't go and preach in that place. It's not a good place to go." Before he could say, "Praise the Lord," the vision was cut off physically. Another one said he went to preach somewhere in the south part of the country, and he was hearing my voice instructing him and giving, and he was saying what I'm saying. There's somebody by the name here, so and so. He was hearing it and saying it with accuracy and precision. That one was very frightening. He called me and said, "Sir, I cannot play with this connection." To the point where I'm standing in the service and preaching and hearing my spiritual father's voice, God speaking like he spoke through Eli, and telling me names of people and situations. Am I communicating at all? There are countless numbers of people here and all over the world who are saying that they saw they are going through hell or something and are about to die or something, and they saw the mantle of the commission, stepped in and said, "Return back, it's not time to die," and so on. God uses the voice or the face to speak to you. Number seven, your spiritual family is identified by the place or person who stirs your fire. Passion and potentials. He stirs it. He stirs your fire. Stirs your passion. Stirs your potential. Brings out the best in you. It causes something inside you to kick. Like Mary. Elizabeth said, "As soon as I heard the voice of your salutation," Luke chapter 1 verse 44, "the babe in my womb leaped for joy. As soon as I, as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped." John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth was kicking, hearing the sound of the mother of his Lord. When you sit under the ministry of your pastor, your teacher, your tutor, your mentor, whoever, there is something in you that is triggered. There is a fire that is activated. There is a passion. There is a potential. Number eight, your spiritual company is identified by the place or person whose voice triggers your joy. Triggers your joy. The babe in my womb leaped for joy. The voice causes something in you to leap for joy. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 44. Triggers your joy. Triggers your joy. Triggers your joy. Somebody say amen. I speak to someone here today. Every trace of depression in your life is arrested. Can I hear that amen like a believer's amen? Amen. Number nine. Your spiritual company or family is identified by that place or person that communicates in the language you understand. Communicates in the language you understand. I'm not talking of natural language now. Communicates in the language you understand. When they speak, you understand. When they teach, you understand. What is spoken is clear to you. What is taught is clear to you. In Psalm 114 verse 1, the Bible talked about Israel coming out of the people of a strange language. The language of your father is not strange to you. The communication of your family is not strange to you. You are not among people whose languages are strange. Communication is strange. Am I communicating? Have you ever stepped somewhere before where they are talking and some people seem to be hearing and understanding what they are saying, but it is passing across your head? Some kind of light or insight that does you don't understand. It's not that it may be wrong. It may be that that is not your language. Am I communicating? There are, and don't try to force yourself to understand strange language. Don't try to force yourself to understand strange doctrine. Don't try to force yourself to understand what is strange to your spirit. Don't try. Don't struggle. Number 10. Your spiritual company or family is identified by that place or person whose spirit people can discern around you. The spirit can be discerned around you. Identify by that place or person whose spirit people can discern around you, like Elijah and Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 15, they said the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. There is something on this man that looks like something I see on Elijah. There is something on this man that I see that looks like something I see on Elijah. It is like you carry a measure of their spiritual DNA. Am I communicating? Even at times you are not even aware yet. There are people that have been directed to me. They said when they move, when they talk, when they walk, somebody will tell them, say, do you know Pastor Paul Enenche? Do you know him? He said, oh, no, I don't know him yet. He said, okay, you better go and know him. Because there is something about you that is like something he carries. Yes, it happens like that. There are people who have connected their spiritual family because a certain residual spiritual DNA is detected. There is something that makes it clear that this is where you belong. There are people forcing themselves to be in the wrong places. I was talking with a young man many years ago, and I thought I was sitting in front of Daddy Gio. Everything, including voice. I said, how are you? You say, I'm very fine. Every single thing. Wow. So tell me about yourself. And of course, he was drunk in that unction. Almost from childhood. It immersed him. Am I communicating at all? If you are an eagle, don't struggle to be fathered by a vulture. I'm sorry for using that extreme example. Okay, let me use a better one. If you are a tiger, don't struggle for the leadership of a lion. Let a tiger, major tiger, lead you. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. And may you not let any devil waste your life. Find your place on time so you can make sense on time. Look at your neighbor, say, find your place on time so your life can make sense on time. And I prophesy to somebody here today, if your life is not making sense yet and this is your place, I declare that agenda of the devil arrested. You are saying amen, say louder, amen. Give the Lord a praise, take your seat. One pastor told me some years ago, he said, he came across our church in area one then, blue roof, powerful looking building. He said, he told somebody, he said, is this a winner's church? They said, no. He said, okay, does this person here have anything to do with Bishop David Oyedepo? And they say, why? He said, because everything, I just sense something here that looks like what I feel around him. The spiritual climate, you carry it when you are under the cover. Now, let me say five important things to you that we must note about spiritual family. Now, and I am taking this directly from the physical family setting. Number one, you don't disown or disconnect from your family because of parental correction or misunderstanding of you. That your father corrected you or did not understand you does not make you disown your family. Does not make you disown your family. You don't disown or disconnect from your home, your family, because of parental correction or misunderstanding of you. Number two, you don't disown your family because of misunderstanding or conflict with your sibling. That is, you and your brother or your sister, you had a problem with each other and then you disowned your family. It doesn't happen except if there is something happening to the head. Nobody left his father's house because his brother looked for his trouble. Nobody abandons church because one of the members of the church, let me just leave their church for them. Which is their church? My own mentality is, between me and you, you are the one to live for me. I can't live for you. Since you didn't bring me here, you can't drive me from here. Thirdly, you don't disown your family because of delay in expectation or other challenges of life. That is, in fact, there are some families where you have very, very terrible ancestral causes and so forth. People don't even disown their family because of that. Because of delay in expectation or any other challenge of life. Number four. You don't disown your family because another family appears fanciful or attractive. Have you done that before? Where somebody said, my father's house is too poor. And then goes to another family and says, can you just adopt me? Even though I have seen a lot of application for physical adoption. No. That is signature for frustration. Listen to this. The Bible says God is the one who sets the solitary in families. Psalm 68 verse 6. He set the solitary in families. Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you, pastor. You don't give yourself. You don't use even physical attributes to determine who is your pastor or where your church is. It is very, very deeply spiritual. You don't even use tribal affiliations or state affiliations or language affiliations or any form of affiliation. It's deeply spiritual. Listen to this. I met someone some time back, a member of this church. Very, very gifted, very talented young lady. And then just roamed away from the church. Maybe there was an attractiveness or fancifulness somewhere. And then just went there. And remained there for almost 15 or more years. Few days ago, I felt to call the person. How are you doing? Oh, is it daddy? I want to come and see you. And then came. Looking like a shadow. This is a person by gifting should be nationally or globally known by now on the ground of gifting. Prayed. And even while in that place, I had reached out to her and her team, her siblings, about 4 years ago to pray for them. That is, come, let me pray for you. I think you are stranded. That prayer of that 4 years ago produced husband, but still went back. Now listen to this. And after I prayed, she said, since January, God asked me to start paying tithe back to this church here. And he said, now, I want to come back home. Home. I was so touched. There are people who suffer their lives 10 years, 15 years, looking for what is not missing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? These things are spiritual matters. You don't play with your spiritual destiny. No matter how fanciful a car is, if the driver is not driving where you are going, you are wasting your life. See, I just entered the Lexus. You say, where is this Lexus going? He says, it's driving to Port Harcourt. But where are you going? I want to go to Lagos. But I'm just enjoying inside the car. That is driving you to a wrong destination. One of the things God helped me early was to locate my cover early. Very early. Very. God helped us. He didn't allow us to waste time at all. The one that is to assist, fulfill destiny. Man, everything was just done so early because we don't have too much time to fulfill destiny. We don't have eternity. You will not miss it. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout it at the top of your voice. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And finally, number five on this note, you don't function as a mobile member of different families. You don't. It is those who are planted, Psalm 92 verse 10, that will flourish. You cannot function as a mobile member, itinerant member of different families. Yes, you can have instructors. You can listen to tapes and read books aloud. Possible to attend programs. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15, he said, even though you have 1,000 instructors, 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. Instructors are plenty, fathers are few. He said, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I am nurturing you with the gospel. I am your father. Any other person may be your instructor. With instructor, you have instruction. With father, you have inheritance. Nobody ever goes to a father, to an instructor to look for inheritance. That your teacher is sharing his property. You can get the instruction of an instructor, but you cannot get the genetics of an instructor. If it is genetics, you get it from a father. With an instructor, you get instruction. With a father, you get impartation. Instruction tells you what to do. Impartation gives you the power to do it. Instruction may tell you what to do. Impartation empowers you to do what needs to be done. That's why so many people are missing their destinies here and there. Up and down, up and down, up and down. They are here today, there tomorrow, near, everywhere, everywhere. It will never be your portion. Very, very quickly, let's move. What are the benefits of the spiritual family? What are the benefits? I'm going to rush through this and trust God to finish this subject within the time allocated. Number one benefit is spiritual nurturing and feeding with knowledge and wisdom unto multiplication. Spiritual nurturing and feeding with knowledge and wisdom unto multiplication. Spiritual nurturing and feeding with knowledge and wisdom unto multiplication. We read that already in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I will give you pastors according to my own heart. He will feed you with knowledge and understanding, and then you will be multiplied. So your spiritual father, your spiritual company is the place where you are spiritually fed. You are spiritually nurtured with knowledge, with wisdom. The outcome of it is multiplication. Spiritual nurturing and feeding with knowledge and wisdom unto multiplication. Number two is succor. Strength and support in times of challenges and need. Succor, strength, support in times of challenges and need. When your faith is challenged, when your ground is shaken, when things are happening around you, that is the place you run to, and you get succor, and you get strength, and you get support. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, the apostles went back to their company to receive strength. They went to their company to receive energy when they were threatened. Succor, strength and support in times of challenges and need. Number three, continuous impartation of needed gifts and graces for destiny fulfillment. Continuous impartation. As he spake to me, the Spirit entered into me. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Continuous impartation. When you sit under the ministry of your father or your pastor, your mentor, in the company you belong to, continuously things drop on you. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. He said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. I want to impart unto you. Somebody is receiving an impartation here right now. Number four, benefit of the spiritual family under a spiritual cover and company, number four, is the reproduction of grace, reproduction of grace, results, and impact. After the order of your family, the reproduction of results, the reproduction of impact, after the order of your spiritual family. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, he said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. We are for signs, we are for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. What is available in the Father is available in the Son. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. And he went and duplicated the result of Elijah. There's the duplication of spiritual DNA. How is that? You are not a pastor, but you are a businessman, you are a politician, you are whatever you are. You know what is going to happen? Anywhere you are is crowded. It's crowded. I'll tell you the our schedule and itinerary just now. Just things are working with effortless ease. You may not lay hands for the blind eye to be open, but closed businesses are opening because you carry the same mantle of your father. I can ask you a question now, and I'm sure you'll answer me. The business that you are doing now, all the technical work you are doing now, just imagine that the anointing that went to Kano last week, to Gwagwalada this week, the same anointing is used to confront your business. Is it possible for it to fail? That same anointing. I don't know how many messages I have preached in the last 1 week, and none of it is a repetition. Carry that same mantle into the academic world. Somebody is reproducing grace here. If you are that one, say louder, amen. The reproduction of results. Number 5 is spiritual covering against adversity and captivity. When you are identified with your spiritual family, you receive spiritual covering. Spiritual covering. The devil can't waste you like that. You can't die like chicken. You are not a wastable material. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. It is the mantle of the people that tackles the battle of the people. If it is not the mantle over your life, it may not be able to address the battle of your life, irrespective of how powerful it is. Number 6 is spiritual accountability and responsibility. When you find yourself in your spiritual family, you flow in spiritual accountability and responsibility. You know this is where you belong, and you function accordingly. This is where you belong. You function. Luke 10:17. The 70 returned again with joy. They returned to their base to give an account of what they experienced. Number 7 is spiritual guidance and role modeling. Spiritual guidance and role modeling. In your company, watching your God-ordained spiritual father or pastor or mentor, guidance is easy. Role modeling is easy. Judges chapter 7 verse 17. Samson said, look on us and it shall come to pass. Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. Acts 4:13, and when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what to do because you see what they do. One of our members, say a businessman, told me, he said, I watch your business. I watch how you conduct your life. I want to run what I run the way you do what you do. The seriousness with which you do it. Another one told me, multiple millions. He said, I model every aspect of my life according to what I see you do. So it's in effortless millions. Am I communicating? I've been following God's servant, Papa David Oyedepo. It should be 30 years by next year. I am not sure if I have asked him up to 7 questions within these years. I can't remember. So can you tell me about this or can you tell me about that? Is this done or how is that done? Oh, no. I sit and what I watch. I sit and his steps. When I think of the steps he takes and the things he does, it answers any question I want to ask. That is what money can't buy. You see the steps, you see the ones positioned in front of you, whatever be your career. There are messages I'll be preparing, and I may go through 200 scriptures to prepare a 30-minute sermon. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And all the scriptures will not come out here. And you take that kind of intensity into anything you do with your life. Anything. When workers meeting here yesterday, download. Am I communicating at all? I prophesy to some. There is no laziness in this house. There is no weakness in this family. And there is no failure here. And there is nothing small here. Hey! And I announce to you today, there shall be nothing small in your life. And there shall be no trace of laziness in your life. If you are saying amen, you will say a louder amen. You will say a louder amen. You will say the Lord must say amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell them failure is not an option here. You are not permitted to fail here. And you cannot fail here. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Finally, number 8. What is the benefit of your spiritual family? Is the guarantee of destiny fulfillment. Journey to destiny. All the Israelites needed to do was to follow Moses' direction. And promised land is guaranteed. Hosea chapter 12 and in verse 13. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. And by that same prophet, they accessed their destiny. Many years ago, I made up my mind. I said, everything God wants me to be, I must be. And I don't care who God wants to use to lead me there. I don't care. I swallow every pride. I don't want at the end of my life to realize there are things I would have done. I didn't do because I entered the wrong vehicle. I followed the wrong leadership. You will end well. Anybody received anything today so far? Let me give you a conclusion. What are the responsibilities of the spiritual family member? The responsibilities of the spiritual family member. You are in a spiritual family. What responsibilities do you accept in order to benefit maximally from spiritual covering? That's what I want to address. Do I just sit down like that? And everything they are saying is my benefit will just happen just like that? No. What responsibilities do I accept in order to benefit maximally from my membership of the spiritual family? What responsibility? Number one, place very high value on your spiritual family and covering. Place very high value. Profit is a product of value. Benefit is a profit, is a product of value. What you don't value will never profit you. What you don't value holds you no benefit. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 29, we saw the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody was thronging Jesus. Everybody considered him normal pally. But this woman said, if I touch the hem of his garment, it's enough. Peter said, when Jesus said, somebody touch me, I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And you all the first row people, come here, all of you here, please. Come close. He said, somebody touched me. He said, this is not correct now. Everybody here is touching you. He said, that is not the kind of touch I am talking about. Somebody placed a demand on what I carried by contact. It is possible to touch and not catch it. Anybody among you ready to catch it?
Yes, sir.
Take. Makadaga de galabara hosata kakadagala hosata labara da 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 sala da da da. Leke perote sefreta kakasa kataka la gaga 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 gaga. It is possible, possible. Something just dropped on them. And it's flowing all through this house. Many people are too familiar to be impacted. They are too familiar. They are too casual. What some people come all the way from America to connect? There are those who are on ground. It doesn't make any sense to them. One day, I gave somebody's shoe as mantle. Are you ready for this? I told you this story before. The person sold the shoe. I could not believe. I wish you gave me back the shoe. I'll give you the money. Wear this shoe. Let it change your life. He sold it. You can't believe who he sold it to. You come to church with a sense of value. You open your ears when the message is going on with value. You receive prophetic declarations with value. If any mantle must profit you, you must value it. Avoid every trace of over familiarity. My mother placed very high value on what I carry. The mother that gave birth to me, she said, once he comes back home, he will lay hands on my leg, it will be healed. Once I lay down, she will start telling people, you see, didn't I tell you? The pain has gone. I told you, if he lay hands, he'll go. My father, very heavy value. I reached home, and then he gathered people. He told everybody, come. He said, let him pray for you. As I'm laying hands on people, he will be shouting fire. Ola, ola. People who saw your babyhood, saw when you couldn't take care of yourself, they saw when you could not control your will or everything, they saw your mess, they saw everything. If they can value the person, what is your relationship that is preventing your value? I see something happening for somebody here. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the Lord must say amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Number two. You know that the sons of the prophets had little value for Elijah. Only one person had value for what Elisha carried. Who was what Elijah carried, and who was that? Elisha. He was the one who carried it. Number two, represent your family correctly, accurately, and well. Don't misrepresent God. Don't misrepresent the church. Represent your family. That's your responsibility. Oh, he's from Dunamis. He's a child of God. He's born again. You represent your family correctly. Represent your family accurately. Represent your family well. Do not misrepresent God. Do not misrepresent the church. Acts 4:13. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus for good. They had been with Jesus for good. Acts 11:26. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Those were good representations. And I can tell you, good representation opens doors. It opens doors. It opens doors. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8 to 10. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Let us build him a house. It opens your doors. It opens your doors. There was a young man doing business, needed 100 million to do something. And he had relationship and he talked with somebody who, big billionaire. And this man said, once he talked with him and he knew where he was coming from, he knew he was connected here. He said, I will give you 100 million. What about agreement? He said, no need. What do we sign? Forget about it. I trust you. And you have told me your role in church and who your pastor is. 100 million without agreement in this country. I called the man. I said, I heard what my young man told me, what you did for him. I want to appreciate you for that trust. He won't betray it. He did the business and returned back the money intact. Good representation. And once the door is going to open, because you represent well, don't misbehave or mess up. Don't misrepresent God. Don't misrepresent the church. Somebody got money. I don't know how much. Over $100,000 or something. And the person who was giving him the money said, I said to him, have you people agreed? Have you not? He said, no. I don't need any much of accountability from him. And he came from you. I knew him from you. And everything was handled neatly, tidily. Good representation opens doors. Number two, represent your family well. Number three, be committed to service in the house. Be committed to service in the house. Don't just sit idle. Now, let me correct something. Just because I said it didn't sign an agreement doesn't mean you shouldn't sign an agreement too. Our people say, if you say one, say the other one. Let me say the other one. Sign agreement. Sign it very well. Be committed to service in the house. Don't just sit idle. Don't just sit and watch. Listen to this. The unction you serve is the unction you can inherit. Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, he poured water. He served Elijah. No wonder. He could make demands on the anointing on Elijah. The unction you serve is the unction you can inherit. Also, the unction you serve is the unction that will service you. Be involved. Do something. Let something work in the house because you are there. Don't be among those who are just sitting there complaining about everything. Be involved in the working of things. Number four. Release your goodwill and prayer into your spiritual family and covering. Release your goodwill and prayer into your spiritual family and covering. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 and 19. Paul the apostle said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then he said, and for me, pray for me that utterance may be given to me. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Pray. Listen to this. If Job's captivity can be turned because he prayed for his friends, Job 42 verse 10, what will happen to you when you pray for your father? When you pray for the family, you connect with the grace. Am I communicating? You may not be able to go for the crusades, but you can pray. Pray for us. Release your goodwill. There are those who are just so angry. Oh, the man is so blessed. Why? And it's meant to be a son. That is a curse. You don't envy your father. You don't hate, or like they say in Africa, jealous your father. No. Number five, be involved in building up the family. Building up the family. Be involved in the increase of the house. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. It said that every joint among us, we have something to supply. Increase of the house. In Luke chapter 14 verse 23. It said, go. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Be involved in compelling the world, the lost world, to come into the house. Be involved in soul winning. And what does that do for you? John chapter 15 verse 16. It expedites answer to your prayers. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There are people who have been coming to church, but they have never invited one person to church. Something is wrong. They have not one soul. Something is wrong. If you have really met Jesus, and you have really, look at the story, testimony we heard earlier on, the cancer devil that came out of the jaw of that person, that's enough to tell somebody. You don't need to know how to preach. All you need to do is to how to tell a story. How to say what you saw, what you heard. Number six, be committed to giving to the cause of the house. Be committed to giving. Psalm 102 verse 13. Psalm 102 verse 13. Psalm 102 verse 13, he said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her year, the set time has come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. I'm interested in the cause of Zion, so my favor must come. Psalm 4 verse 15 to 19. I'd like you to listen to this. He said here, Psalm 4. Is it that Psalm 4? Philippians 4 verse 15 to 19. Philippians 4 15 to 19. He say, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full. Have you received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, you have ministered to me. You have ministered to my necessity. Ministered to the evangelistic need. Ministered to the assignment that is in my hand. My God shall supply all your needs. Listen, when you minister by giving in the house, in your family, what that does is it qualifies you for supply of all your needs. All. It also connects you to grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8, you see, he said, but this I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purpose set in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace after you have given. You connect grace by giving effortlessly. The grace in the house, the grace on the mantle, effortlessly, effortlessly. Something flows from here to the ministry above us monthly for donkey years. Something flows from myself in the direction of my spiritual father monthly for 2.5 decades and above. No advice, no pressure, no preaching, no cajoling, no coercing. Nothing. You just connect things effortlessly. Be committed to giving to the cause of the house. And finally, be committed to love and unity in the house. Love and unity in the house. Don't be an agent of discord and division. Don't be an agent of discord. Don't be an agent of division. Psalm 133, verse 1 to the end. 133. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Finally, Romans 16:17, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, avoid them, avoid them, avoid them. Don't tear down what God is building, otherwise God will tear you. Do you hear what I just said? Don't tear down what God is building so that God does not tear you. Don't be an agent of conflict and division and crisis. You spoke here, you spoke there, you jammed two people's heads. You lied against the person and so on and so forth, and the person had to leave church. God will hold you responsible for any soul you send away from church. He will hold you responsible for anyone you send to hell. You will follow them there. Am I communicating? Don't let the devil use you to scatter when God is gathering. We are laboring together with God, spending time, energy, resources, everything for God to build. Don't let the devil use you to scatter. Some of you may need to ask God to suture your lips because of loquaciousness, excessive talk, talkativeness, here, there, high frequency talk, faster than parrots. Just calm your life down so you don't ruin your destiny. Just do the things that foster building in the house. Be a peacemaker, not a crisis bringer. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet, everyone, everywhere you are. You receive something, say amen. This morning we are going to have impartation. And there is something I want to trust God to impart upon our life today. Of all the things that I have said, there is something I want to trust God to impact upon our lives. Now take your seat 1 minute. Did you bring any material for impartation? Please, I need limited movement. All right, stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands and your voice. And we're going to pray for the next 5 minutes. Jeremiah 3:15 again, he said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart. Shall feed you with knowledge and wisdom, understanding, and you'll be multiplied. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
For planting me.
In my spiritual family.
I ask, Lord.
For the grace. To faithfully discharge my obligations. In the house.
Oh, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Again, say, Father.
I thank you.
For planting me. In my spiritual family.
I ask, Lord, for the grace
to faithfully discharge my obligations in your house. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. Jesus' precious name. And say after me now, say, Father,
I receive
my allocated benefits of being planted
in your house.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive
my allocated
benefits
of being planted.
I receive now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak. In the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 6, after this manner, therefore pray. I want to counsel both counselors and some of those moving, please. Service is not over at all. Just ensure you don't miss out today. Value for God's presence, for God's house. Value is what is missing, that many people's lives are still the same. No value. Word is going on, prayer is going on, they are moving. Value. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Say, Father,
we ask
that you will establish
your rule
and your reign
in our nation,
in Nigeria.
Father,
we ask
that you will establish
your perfect will
and plan
for our nation
in this season.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Again, Father,
we ask
that you will establish
your rule
and your reign
in our nation,
in Nigeria.
We ask
that you will establish
your perfect will
and plan
for our nation
in this season.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
open your mouth and pray.
Jesus.
Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name.